Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love the Lord, my God and King. I love to see what's next. I love to see what God has on His agenda for me. And I love, you know, my favorite confession of faith these days. I will do all that's in His heart. I will do all that's in Jesus' heart, all that's in my Father's heart. I can't wait for the guidance of the Holy Ghost. And I love when He guides me and give me assignments. And the assignments of God are very serious. But I learned, instead of looking at focusing on the negative or the negative thoughts that the enemy gives, oh, they're not going to believe you. Oh, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're weird. I don't go for that garbage no more. Because I learned when my Father gives me something to do, it works. And when I used to be apprehensive, and it's not hard to be apprehensive. I understand. I'm not ashamed of anybody that is apprehensive. I understand what it's like when you don't know. But after a while, as I followed God, everything that I was afraid of or apprehensive about or in question about, God exceeded my expectations. And wonderful things happen in the process. You know, the reason people don't follow God to His specifications is because they lack leadership in it. And this is not a throwback or a throwback to the, I'm not talking against any pastors. You know, people grow from glory to glory. They grow. I thank God for the growth that people do enter into. But when you study the Word of God, even men of covenant, you know, people are not like, then God will work, He can work with people that are not grown yet in their ways. You know, we're standing on the shoulders of Jacob and all of his sons, all of them. But there were times in their life they had to make up their mind. Now, God gave Joseph a dream that his mother, the sun and the moon and all the stars, you know, and planets in the solar system, bow down to him. His 11 brothers bowed down to him. And Jacob said, well, me and your mother and your brothers bow down to you. But Joseph considered this, but he didn't stick with it. They were provoked when that happened. And they sold him into Egypt. His oldest brother, Reuben, tried to suggest to put him in the well. Then he went back to get him, and they had already got him. You know the story. And Judah, you know, they started coming to the Judah and the oldest brother, they started having second thoughts against the mischief that was going to happen. But they ended up selling them into Egypt anyway. Sold them to the Ishmaelites. What if people took this approach to the things of God? Instead of being provoked, go in prayer and ask the Lord, how is this going to happen? Or you know, if God gives a dream twice, and you know the character of a person, why not look into it? Why not ask the Lord more about it? Lord, how can I help my younger brother here? He's going to become a great man. How can I help? What can I do? But that kind of attitude is not in the average Joe. Most people, when God wants them to do something, they tell God why they shouldn't do it. And, you know, God, He puts a lot of thought into what He does, and He always gives His best. I learned this about Him. He sees more in us than we see in ourselves. when he first told me what, I asked him once he called me to the ministry, I asked him, what kind of minister am I? He wouldn't tell me. I wasn't ready to hear it. He told me to follow him. He called me to the ministry in 87. Then in 1990, he had me to study, and I got to know him. Now, I had a lot of, you know, you hear these broadcasts, things happen in different years of my life that helped me go forward. I got saved in 1983. The Lord called me to the ministry in the spring of 87. And I actually started preaching in the fall of 87. And different things happened along the way. Well, in 1990, he said he had me to study. He gave me the study 15 chapters a day. That's when he started talking to me. And I asked him a question. He talked to me. We hold conversations in prayer. It wasn't just me praying like it used to be, or I would hear from him when I'm going to preach, or every now and then. I started hearing from God every hour, all the time. I was having a conversation with him, learning. He was working with me and preparing me for things. Then in 92, that's when he revealed point blank what kind of preacher I am. He said, you're a chief apostle to the church. I said, oh my goodness. I said, here we go. And my life is already complicated. Most people I know are not going to believe me. When you look at people, you know, that's neither here or there. If God say do something, I couldn't say that I was not, because I used to wonder, why am I writing words to pastors? God would give me a word at home. I'd write it, I'd put it on paper like he told me to. I'd go to the church that he want, and he said, give the pastor this. And I said, oh man, this is going to be interesting. I get to church, he's preaching most of the stuff that I wrote down at home. I hand him the paper, and this, his half of his message is already in the words that I didn't write in the church, and it was in my handwriting. You know, God, when you follow God, things work. And here I am still doing this work. God sees something in us that's valid, that's solid. So when he calls you to the ministry or give you something to do, you don't have to go through the drama. Just obey him. And you know, if you have any questions, ask. He'll get your answers to you. I love God. God is good to me. He's good to all of us. And everything he do makes sense. But guess what? God don't give you all his marbles. He don't give all his marbles to one person. Proud men try to make it seem that way, but that's not the way it is. Every blood-washed child of God is very valuable. And every blood-washed child of God is able to contribute something that nobody else can contribute. I stand on that. I know this. I have been blessed by people of all ages. The Lord causes people to say things that I need. I see things in young people that many people overlook. Some people have strengths, and nobody in their family, the family will be the last to know. But if you're observant, you know, the Lord, he can show you things. My oldest daughter, I was asking the Lord about my oldest daughter. I said, I want to know what he saw in her, because I know there's some good in it. He said, she's a deep well. Wow, I didn't know that was going to, he was going to say that. But guess what? She's a psychologist. And she's a good one. You know, you see strengths in your children. And when they were I remember things that I was doing, and when all of them were born, I see those strengths in them. God honors us. We train up our children the way we should go by obeying God's word. Your lifestyle is very important to your training. Children don't just listen to what you teach. They take in everything you say. including what you teach. They take in, they see your ways, your strengths, your weaknesses. They take in everything. That's why it's so difficult for people to come out of bad habits. And also, thank God, that's why some people have great strengths. They watch their parents. I got strengths from my parents. My parents didn't argue and fuss and fight and cuss each other out. My father always came home. We had a very stable home. I felt safe. And I wanted a house. That's why I wanted to get married and have a family. I saw harmony in my parents. Even my sisters, you know, we got along good. My two older sisters moved back in, they and their sons. And their sons were just like brothers to me. And my older sister, we used to love to watch TV. We used to like to watch Battlestar Galactica because we loved Star Wars, and that was the closest thing to Star Wars. And it would come on every Sunday night. So whenever it came on, she would bake us chocolate chip cookies with pecans and M&M's in it. And she would make stuff, cakes and things like that. She'd get us to clean up before it come. Those are good memories. You know, that makes you want to have a family. Because you want to share. When my children were young, I used to get them to straighten up. We're going to watch a movie tonight, you know, whatever we were going to do. We teach the word. You know, we used to share the word every Saturday morning. And they enjoyed it. I was going to just teach 30 minutes. But by the time we get through, they ask questions and we get into it, it'd be 3 hours later. It'd be so much fun. Family, you know, it's what you put into it. But children take in everything they see from both parents, the good and the bad. But with the word of God, helps them filter out the junk, the things that we missed, that they got by us, when they start studying for themselves. The things that my parents, that I couldn't learn from them, you know, the spiritual things were the things that they didn't delve into. So the Lord trained me about the Holy Spirit and how to follow him. But this is why I'm saying all this. When you take orders from the Lord, everything is evaluated. If you try to do a format, for instance, a lot of churches come up with formats. And sometimes they get people saved, not like what God will do. All right, if you take the word Jesus said in Matthew, in Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Okay, that's a format. That's in obedience to God. All right. That's a version of what he says to do. But when you go in prayer, you're willing to do this. You're willing to go in all the world and preach. Okay, like he said. All right. Okay, Lord, what is your format for me? It's within that framework. But it's going to be more detail for you. He'll show you your wisdom and how you can contribute. Now remember, the gospel did go into all the world. The apostles had to literally go places. But now we have technology. And I thought years ago, and knowing that God had called me to be an apostle, and I kept seeing him continually giving me revelation. He has not stopped giving me revelation since 1990. Really since 1987 when he called me to the ministry. He gives me revelation all the time. That's why I do heart to heart. I said, Lord, the Lord is gearing up. He's teaching me things about the church and problems that's going on. He's teaching me these things for a reason. But I didn't have, for years, I didn't have a direction other than the radio broadcast. But guess what? On the radio broadcast, he don't release it. The radio broadcast, he's giving people what they can receive on the radio. But heart to heart is for people that's hungry and mature. Now, anybody can listen to it. If God said listen to it, then listen to it. I welcome everybody to listen to it. But immature people are not going to, you know, they're, Paul said that the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. Well, hello, this is it. This is the day. I've never seen people struggle with sound doctrine like people do today. If you go in, this is why I say that. If you go in the prayer room and the Lord teach you things, it's more like what Jesus says, direct and to the point is good. But when you share it with the average person, they ready to go home. If you share it with the right person, you can't go home. They're going to ask you questions and they're going to want to know more. 3 hours will go by. And they love it. I know the difference. I got caught up with a guy from the neighborhood, a friend of mine. And we met at Walmart. I got in trouble with my wife because I was gone for 2.5 hours. We were out there having church in the parking lot talking about the wonderful works of God. And, you know, then the next day I called him and we talked some more for a long time. And every now and then he come by, we talk. That's how it is when you're talking to a hungry person. A religious person is not going to do that. A Laodicean church member is not going to endure sound. Only hungry people would do that. And we're a body. God didn't give one man all of his marvels. We know in part. And we can grow together. We know in part, but we grow together. When we hear the word of God from another one of his blood-bought people, we need to be receive what they have to offer. Some things you can't learn, but they can. That's just how it is. Some people see things in the Word that you can read it 100 times and never see it. They can read it a few times and see it. So you got to recognize the body. And thank God, I don't want to do other people's part. I want to do my part and I want to do it right. So when I hear the people of God say things that I need, I thank them for it. I'm very receptive and I thank God for them and I thank God for using them to help me, because the things that the thought, a word can save your life. I remember Terrence Givens, he was the best man when I first got married. He said, if you're ever tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for the woman too. That helped me out. It, you know, I took it a step farther. I take authority over Satan's works. See, he has to tempt you if you're standing, if you don't want to be tempted. He will try to tempt you. That's how he does. And he used beautiful people that God made, or wonderful people that God made, to do this. And these are things you're going to have to do, because people can get tempted with you and you can get tempted with others. You can get tempted with things that's wrong. But you have to resist it. So when I learned to take authority, I took authority over the works of darkness. I said, Satan, you can't tempt me with her. Or you can, you can't tempt her with me. And it always worked. Then I prayed. I said, Lord, bless her, bless your destiny. bless her to do your will. Bless her with a wonderful husband that will love her. And bless me to never be tempted with anybody. I said, help me to see all women besides my wife as Joan, Gail, and Karen. Those are my sisters. Because you can't be tempted with your sisters. And the Lord, if you can imagine something, then God can do it. He can do things you can't imagine. So If you can imagine something, God can take you there. He can make it be real to you. Now just think about this for a moment. Back to Joseph. He had those two dreams. Instead of them saying, well, this is going to be a great man of God. Lord, how can I be a help to him? Even Jacob didn't do that. Now, Jacob loved him. He was mentoring him, teaching him. He went to Egypt. He was very versed in many languages, things. He was sowing into his life. He taught him something. He taught him about what Abraham and Isaac taught him, the things they learned from Shem and Noah. See, Joseph was receptive. And that may have given, you know, Jacob an edge, or Israel. I said Jacob, but his name was changed to Israel. That's his covenant name. He put in with his son, but he did. If that vision was of God, there's no way Jacob's going to die. I mean, Joseph is going to die. Come to find out, he didn't. And the sin of his brothers became known. But what if people took the high road? If God calls somebody to do something, why do church people try to find something wrong with it? If you got to be careful what you share with people these days. Some people will get jealous of you. Some people will fear for you. I don't like it when people fear for me. That's saying that you're not. There's no way on this side of heaven you're gonna get this done because you're not good enough, or you're not qualified, or they're afraid that you're gonna try something and fail. Doubt is always a target against the person that you doubt. You don't doubt about somebody, you doubt against people. Parents should never doubt against their children. If they say, well, you know, my middle daughter, Shira, she's very focused. And it doesn't bother her that it's gonna take 4 to 6 more years for her to be a doctor. She's about to graduate from, she got 2 more semesters, she'll graduate from undergraduate school. Then she's got to go to medical school and do her, and she's excited about, she talks about all this stuff she got to do as if it's going to take 2 weeks. She don't care about how long it's going to take. She does what she's supposed to do day by day. She never complains about it. She never has second thoughts about against what she's doing. She said, I'm thinking about joining the Peace Corps for a year. She just talk about it like that's just what you do. She's a dear child. I love her. And I thank God for her. She's focused. Somebody say, Apostle, are you bragging? Yeah, I am. I thank God that my daughter has a mind to be a doctor to help people and join the Peace Corps. I thank God for that. But guess what? I'm bragging on His works, His covenant. I pray for her. I pray for all of them. And I want, you know, I like to see him, when my son gets a job, wherever he works, he does good. I taught him to work as under God. And God will bless you in whatever it is you want to do. And the Lord would give me things to tell him. I like good fruit. Jesus said, be fruitful. He also said, multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. I believe in him. That's what we do. But what if people took the high road more instead of tearing people down, doubting against people, looking at the handiwork of what God is doing. Now, proud people cannot do that. They get offended. They get offended against you. But people with the heart of God, just like they get excited when a person gets saved, genuine people of God get excited and they thank God for your success. They thank God that you're doing something over the top. I do. If some, when other people's children proceed forward, I thank God. I said, Lord, I thank you. Bless them some more. You know, at church, Matthew has a blessed family. All his daughters, one is real good at basketball. One can play the drums. So good. I mean, and his oldest daughter can sing so beautifully, and she's anointed. She's talented. She sounds good, and she's anointed. And her husband's anointed. You know, I love to see people go forward in the things of God. You know, I just can't. I love it. I look at children that love God. When people love God, anything is possible. And when people really genuinely love God, I love to talk to them. I try to give them everything I can so that they don't have to make the same mistakes I did. When I say mistakes, when God used to tell me to do something, I felt just like everybody else. Lord, how in the world am I going to do that? You know, even when the Lord called me to be an apostle, I said, people are going to think I know everything. I don't know it. Apostles, I can testify to this. Apostles, they don't know everything. And they have to learn to live just like everybody else. They have to use their faith. They have to learn the word. But they have an anointing that's just over the top. The easiest thing that I do is preach God's word, because he give me what to say. Preaching is easier than me putting my socks on.